Good for them now. What's
good for them?
Oh, no, no. I will say I did not know, because if it was explained. But it's fine, because as it is, that's why Minister was saying maybe others are really need interpellations, so that we will... So that we can discuss others properly. So we'll write questions. It's fine, sir.
We can probably remember Joseph, because you know, unfortunately, with the hospital, you build the hospital like they said, you know, it's operational budget that you must also look at. So it's not easy to build a hospital, you know, a hospital without doctors means nothing, you know. Remember, Joseph, you had a, just, we're not going to entertain questions, but just a remark that you want to make.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation. It's always of a high standard that we're getting from the department. I just wanted to, I mean, obviously, education is competing with the job in terms of our budget as well, so the two biggest departments. I just want to maybe just have clarity on the donor funding. Is the donor funding only supporting health programs, or is there money going into infrastructure as well from donor funding? I just want to know if that scenario is there. And then of course the technology within the how did we this morning had another presentation on procurement and all that, but the specs and the technology that goes with this new infrastructure. How does the department determine eventually the medium long term cost? You know, the budget is not there, but if they get it in 5 years, you know, is there sufficient information that will indicate correct even the infrastructure, the 1 billion that you need? I mean, if you do it in 3, 4, 5 years time, it's probably 1.5, another 500 million added to that. How do you keep track of the actual cost of the infrastructure that needs to be done? Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to park it there. Let's just answer briefly on that. But what we will do, we will then ask in writing maybe further information on certain things. Over to you, Ajit.
Thank you, Chair. We learned from the comment about the way that we present, and we'll definitely take that into the department. The issue of the donor funding, what has been mentioned here is the Children's Hospital Trust, UCT, and then through the National Department also the NHIA funding that we've received. So the funding is largely for infrastructure, but also then for health technology. So the Children's Hospital Trust for the upgrade of the emergency centre, but then all equipment that goes with that. With UCT, it's a neuroscience center that we are collectively developing, and we contribute financially, and then they come large infrastructure with also health technologies, always both. There were also previous work with Ackerman Foundation, etc., but we use that via the Children's Hospital Trust, and they then help, for example, Victoria Hospital Pediatric Ward. They helped us to upgrade, but that came via the Children's Hospital Trust. Health technology, the specifications, we have a director for health technology, very experienced individual, and the specifications are being done as part of the development work, and the honourable members absolutely agree, these are very highly complex CT scanners, and a lot of high level type of equipment. It's not something you can just take from the shelf and you buy. You have to put all the specs out there, and the tendering must be on those specs. So, and a lot of experience has been in there. Some of the other provinces also take from our specs and utilize that for their purposes. As part of the costing, Dr. Angeliti Tetuwe can respond, but critically there are certain standards for certain types of facilities to assist you with costing based on the space and type of the services. Dr. Tetuwe, if you want to respond.
Yes, we thank you for the question. We started with a very high level cost estimate based on the status facility and so on. And then in infrastructure you apply an escalation that is called CPIC, that is linked not to the inflation, but it's got different index. So we plan for the overall, and we try to achieve what is the cost of the facility in that financial year. But it's not easy, it's complex. And it's also linked to a lot of variables, like the time for the design, the time for the procurement, the construction cost. So it's something that we do, but with the national department in the last 2 or 3 years, with the development of the IUSS, the Infrastructure Unit Support Service, is a series of guidelines we have what we call the order of magnitude budgeting. So it actually is a template that we are using where we put the information of the facility, and there is a cost even divided according to the financial year. So we use it as a first way to do budgeting over the project in the, say, for Prefontaine Hospital for the next 5 years or 7 years. So it's a quite useful tool. So it's a series of experience and tools that we can use. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's the end of that presentation. Members, I'm just going to do the last one, and then we can have a 10-minute break before we have our committee discussion. I don't want to keep the department here. So it's, this was a, Member Chatham, this was your question. Member Chatham, this was your question, the writing off of debt of former employees. That is what you asked at the annual report. So we have the document, Doctor. I'll give over to you to present, and then we'll ask the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. So the honourable members would have received more than one document. The one gives you the recovery in respect of, just give you an overview, and then the second one, there's a thicker and a thinner one on the mechanism. So the thicker one is just for reference purposes, give you a bit more detail, and the thinner one, which you're asking 4 or 5 slides to just talk about the mechanisms to avoid further recurrence of debts written off due to salary overpayments. Mrs. Aris is our Chief Director for People Management, and she will speak to the slides. Thank you.
This is Aris at the back. So you did get 3 documents. The thick one was not meant for you. It is in fact our original working document compiling everything and explaining it, so it was not to circulate you. But now you have it, and you have further explanations and understanding what falls under each of these areas. So as I've been requested in the previous presentation, we will not repeat the presentation itself, but to say that we have 30,000 staff members currently, or 30,000 more staff members. We have a decentralized people management service in our organization. So we have people management staff, HR people working right into the hospitals. So there are things that happen, and salary debt occurs for various reasons, as I've listed. These are the number of things on slide 2, the possible reasons why these things happen. And so at the same time, while we say that we are decentralized, we believe that we need to make sure that our staff are capacitated. So part of the process is to continually train. We have, and you see the mechanism already put in place, that we do sample testing, that we do continuous training, that we have a portal where we load all our policies and documents, and that we have a toolkit. But that is there, and we need to continue to go out and train our people to do so, and to actually improve on what they are doing and how they're doing it. But it does happen that these things happen, and in this in particular instance where it was highlighted, that debt that was identified, it's both staff that is in the employ as well as those who have exited the organization. And so we say that we need to look at how we can make sure that the occurrence, we can never ever eradicate completely, but the occurrence is less, and that we make sure that our staff are continuously trained and continually sample tests that we can take to make do away with it. We have put in place a measurement instrument, we call it our compliance management instrument. We have an audit action plan that's in place to in fact speak to that and encourage ourselves through training and through exposure how to do these things. So the second part of the document then goes into what we still need to do and what we need to continually enforce. The issue of making sure that leave files are audited annually. Now it is a capacity issue, and therefore it's not done annually, but so now we want to say, as part of this exercise, to look at doing it more often and more regularly, that we want to do. So we will continue to update our policies. There's also the issue of one or two of our policies, and Dr. Engelbrecht always tells me our documents and our policies and guidelines and SOPs are quite extensive, and you know, sometimes she uses the word, sometimes it's dense, and we are trying to change that to make sure that it's much easier on the palate, that people understand it, and to make it in small bite-sized SOPs that people can bond with. So these things come from the past, and we're trying to improve on that by making sure that we train people. We also work very closely and obviously with our finance team to make sure that we recover the debt of those who are, that in the service, because it is firstly, as in the document that Mr. Kay provided, it is when we actually register the debt, when we first identify it, register it, and when we process it through the BAS process, where individuals are held accountable to pay back, and then in the process of when people leave, that we make sure we can recover it by means of, with their consent, through the pension deduction from their pensions or from their leave credit deduction, or in then eventually, if we don't, that we use a provider to assist us in that process.
Do you members questions? Yeah, no, this is my question. I saw at the end of the document that you have, you are saying that disciplinary action must be taken incident. You know, I understand when an employee leaves, you know, and maybe there was cost incurred and he leaves, and then he must pay back. But for employee that's in service, you know, I'm just saying, it's completely dishonest if you know you're not entitled to X, because you know, some of them might not know, but I mean, I think most should know. And then how do you pick it up by auditing, or do people come back and say, listen, I was overpaid? You know, those type of things. So I know you put measures in place, I know about that, but I'm just saying it was a huge amount. You know, and all that I'm saying is that when somebody is employed, you know, he's working there, he's maybe overpayment of allowances, like you stated here, overpayment of whatever, leave gratuity or whatever. How does that work if he's employed and now you must tell him, okay, we'll deduct it X, Y, Z. But does that person come forward, and what's the incentive for that person to come forward? What is, will it be picked up? And does people get away with it by not picking it up? I'm just asking you, you've mentioned all these things. I'm just saying, what is the possibility that it's not going to happen in future? Just one moment, Member Chetza, want to latch onto that? Member Chetza?
Thanks, Chetza. I hear with those individuals probably who got the money. Mine is the one who was pressing enter in the computer for the money to go.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy,
Because I think before you go to others, this one, supposed to account why would they have given that money. I would ask others later on.
Melissa, first one to ask?
Before she answers, because at the time that all the delegations for staff for grievances, inclusive even of such, were coming to me, then that's when I realized that I cannot do all the 32,000. Yes, related to when their money is getting deducted, like they'll get the money, and then once it gets deducted, then they will complain. And then it comes to me, and then actually going to the public service commission at the time. But remember, they don't complain when it gets in.
Yes.
So it only gets the complaint list. Like I'm just sharing some, because it would probably have been useful maybe just to have an indication of which categories where sometimes such things happen. Because from my experience, it has been mostly from the majority from the nurses around the issues of the OSD at the time. Because let's say, for example, now you finish, you complete your qualification, additional qualification on specialty, then you qualify for the salary adjustment. However, later it so happened that actually when you undertook that qualification, you were not supposed to, because there's a requirement that, like for example, previous at the time, that you're supposed to have had a 3 year clinical experience in that field before you could have another qualification specialist in that, therefore in order to qualify for the OSD figures. Now it might be when you have applied and then probably they don't allow you for that and then you do your own thing, individual, and then you get the qualification. So it could happen like that, and or it could be because you get the qualification, which is you acquire legally and officially, but now we make an assumption, let's say a qualification on advanced mental health, but you are still working at a primary health care clinic, and you are not even rendering advanced mental health care, you are not in a post of advanced specialist, but you are still an ordinary. And then now, probably the mistake where you end up because they've got the qualification, boop, it goes there. Yet, you are not in the post. You are not supposed to qualify. So sometimes it happens, others, they are so ignorant, they don't understand that I've got the qualification, now I'm getting whatever, yet they are not in that post. So there are some things at the time that used to be. It's not necessary that people out of the blue who are at the higher level and then they get a 10 million. It's not. It's mostly this kind of that. So now when you see, so for me at the time, before I, once they have kicked in the penalties, what we discussed with the Public Service Commission is about, based on what is the use of keeping them, when they say no you can't, because based on the policy or not, and then it goes to Public Service Commission, they end up having a pile of this. Then that's when we say that it, probably let's look in terms of how we can take it back to the management, where probably there should be sessions where in terms of the specialty one, specialty one, two, especially in that target group that normally makes such mistakes.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Perhaps just to confirm, the document indicates 10 different reasons why it might happen that you get overpaid. So it's possible that a person would not notice if there was an overpayment, because there are so many other the type of issues that the minister has raised. And what Mrs. Aris has indicated, what are the people management aspects, and Mr. Carrick then in his document talks about the financial aspects. And the critical thing here is very often there's a delay in reporting that something went wrong, and that is when the audits take place to say that did we make the calculations correctly, etc. So all those then must then be corrected going back, and that often leads to dissatisfaction in the staff. To put it in context, that our wage bill is about 14 billion rand, and we're talking about in the annual financial statement 1 million, of which 275,000 was written off. So although it's a lot of money, in the bigger context, our processes are trying to contain this as far as possible, and what the team are putting forward is that what are the things that we can do more. And the critical thing is people management decisions. We realize across the country, if there's one aspect that drives provinces to overspend or have problems, is in people management decisions on appointment, etc. And we are really trying our best to contain that, and we are actually doing better than other departments in that regard.
I want to be upstream again. The service that you deliver is of such utmost importance that our issue shouldn't really even be about, you know, it is, what's the word? For audit purposes, you need to be within the parameters. But you know, Doctor, where this whole thing falls flat for me is, you have an ethos and a mantra and a vision and a mission of what healthcare service should be about. Now we're sitting here and we're debating somebody that's paid and underpaid and overpaid and all of that. But the service that they render puts to shame the ethos and the mantra that you want to instill in them. Because if you really want to frustrate yourself, me, us, Joseph, go into a hospital and go and experience what people, the kind of service they get from the staff that's supposed to be doing the best humanitarian service, as I can say, but I mean, what's more important than healthcare to a person who's completely helpless? That you expect that person who's going person to give you health care. You're going to be the most empathetic, special kind of person, I would imagine, who can become a nurse. I could never be a nurse simply because I cannot stand blood. I can't stand old people suffering. I can't stand kids suffering. So I'll never be a nurse. But empathy, yes, I have that. But I will not be able to do that job. So you have to stand on different legs. You must have empathy, but you must also have a commitment to the job that you're doing. It shouldn't just be somewhere I go to earn a salary. It's the same with teachers. You can't just go to school because you have to be a teacher and earn a salary. There's a kind of person that's supposed to be in front of a class. So what I'm trying to say to you, as much as you and NEC and the rest of you are trying your level best to paint this health department as something good and wonderful and great, the reality is people are not adhering to what you're trying, doctor. They're not giving the service to the most vulnerable in the way that you expect them to do it. How are you going to change it? I mean, you work with 50,000 people. How do you change that? I don't know. But I feel it's my duty to bring this to your attention, that somehow you've got to do some kind of empowerment, education, I don't know. Is it frustration over workload? Is it frustration over lack of facilities? What's the reason that going to hospital for the ordinary man, personally, is not a pleasant experience? Generally it's not. Unless you can afford to go to private hospital, who can? Our majority of our, and we're not talking about private hospitals here, we're talking about your care. You know, so this is coming from a good place. It's coming from a place where I want the service that the health department is supposed to deliver to be what you want it to be. Unfortunately, it's not, in most cases.
Thank you, Member Joseph. That is just a comment that the HOD can respond to that. That's not related to us, but I allowed the member because it's something on the heart. Member Joseph?
Thank you, Chairperson. No, I don't want to comment on that. I want to come back to the to the discussion. I think Member Chatham asked the question who pressed the button. Now, I think what I want to say is that there must be incentives for people to study, you know, any organization, to lift the standard and the experience, the quality that we need, the professional that we need in that department. But what this puzzles me, even if the amount is significant, anyone who's got a qualification, don't walk into the payroll office and say, here is my papers, I've got my qualification, you must now capture on a system what I must earn and give you a definition out of the rule book or whatever books. I mean, it's not as easy as that. Now, and I think the people management, the point I want to bring here is that there's a senior, you know, all the categories that we have, plus the management and signed off and all that. So that's the kind of thing I'm looking at, preventative. How do we prevent that? There's something slipping through, if I summarize it, that shouldn't, or that is misinterpreted by certain staff or senior staff, misunderstanding, and they just think that is the rule and that they could catch it. So I'm saying with all the levels of management right to the top, then how is it possible that it happens, and how, what measurements is now in place, mechanism to prevent it? Thank you.
Thank you, Chi. I would like to acknowledge the comment that was made by the Honourable Member Bianco. She and I, late a few evenings, had conversations about the experience of patients, so I can clearly understand where she's coming from. I would like to put a perspective that I often visit facilities. Every time I come back, I am humbled by the staff, what they do, how far they go with the resources to their avail, and the type of care that is provided. Obviously, that can't be 100%, but we want to find that. In general, we find that. And very often, when we assess, it's from which perspective are we looking at our services. And comparing with the private sector might be one approach. And one need to say that, is that real, where the private sector has six times more resources than us? And how do we find a way? Because it's not only about resources, but attitude, what's in the heart of people. And we're working very hard with everything. We're doing leadership development, we're doing culture change, we've got a lot of incentives, innovations, etc. And there's a lot of good things happening. But I'd really like to invite, if there are such experiences, to invite the honourable member to please call me again. If she does have those experiences, we systematically use every feedback to improve our services. In terms of the question, how are we mitigating, because that is the question, how are we preventing from happening again? And Mrs. Aris, at a high level, explains that from a people management perspective, it's largely on the controls, the orders that we do, the controls, the training, picking it up, correcting it. Every opportunity is being used to nurture. How can we strengthen our system to be able to deal with these issues? Health has got 106 different professionals, categories. Everyone's got their own rules. To be applying that in your clock, in a small facility, you have to understand all of those. So it unfortunately does happen, but do we pick it up? Do we correct it? Do we make sure it doesn't happen again? And that is what we're trying to paint here in terms of the realities of the health sector.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Minister Ichodi. I think that's the end of it. There's some refreshments in the members' lounge. So we're going to take a 10-minute break and then we're coming back. Thank you very much.
Government Yeah. Yeah. And I was lazy. I was lazy. And I was lazy. Papa.
Why you so? Chester. You
So the next discussion is not on the agenda. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to keep them. Yeah, when you are just...
In 2 weeks.
So, you can do that in an argument?
He's going to write you an email. We can't do it now. He's going to write you an email. And I think the 30th is that by-election. So I think the week after that, if we can have the question. So he'll write you an email to say, you know, your questions. And then by the 6th, if it's in by the 6th, then we can just go run through it on the 6th of the meeting. Is that fine? What is there any other suggestions? I'm talking about the questions of the lengthy document.
Okay.
The UN. That so I'm thinking the 30th is a by-election, so we do it the 6th.
Yeah, sure.
So you must submit it before the 6th, so that we just run through it, because he will then compile it.
Yeah,
email it to Dustin, he will then put it in one document, and we'll just run through it. Is that fine with you members? Okay. So that's resolved then. Is there any other resolutions on the other presentation? Nothing? Yeah. Member Chacha?
Is this visit which they were talking about the that system?
Yeah, it's Rosenthal, that's the Rosenthal.
Yeah. Oh, it's Rosenthal.
So that's an oversight visit if you we never go to oversight visit, it's an oversight visit to see how the system is implemented. And maybe, you know, with that we can maybe couple, Member Bumagal, some of these old infrastructure buildings, just to look at the cost on those
things. Was Wobbleclaw on
the list? Wobbleclaw was on the list and we never did for Wobbleclaw. Is that close to where?
Wobbleclaw is in the CS. Yeah.
Mm. It's in the outside
of London. Outside of London. Oh, Wobbleclaw is close.
Hospitaal in Swartland dat ons nog wat afgebrand is. Misschien moet ons in een tijd dat als een temperatuur, dat is mensen die het was in de report.
Yes, yes.
maybe that, and then over to not here, over Worcester that way, can connect.
So the difficulty always we had was the day.
Yeah.
Because
there's other meetings.
You know, how do we do it if we want an oversight visit on that? We have public hearings. We have public hearings now, okay. with amendments, the bill, the education bill.
Yeah.
It's not cluster B, but it's a committee. But what I'm saying is we're sleeping out.
Yeah.
So it's days, and they sit now. They're gonna make it so that Adam Tabas come for 4-2 o'clock. So sometimes we come back on the Wednesday morning. Remember,
I think I'll be on finance in August, I think, or somewhere there. I don't know if we want to wait so long, but I'm willing to shift, you know, like the finance to another date, if we can, and we can have the scope of, you know, I don't know about other committee members on a Wednesday, but we can. Yeah, I'm just a bit, I can put the Wednesday morning out, if we can cover the Wednesday, if it's nearby in the metro for a day, or out for 2 hours and back, or something like that, I can.
We can do it in trust the weeks if it's not affected.
Yeah.
We're looking at the end of July, but again we can discuss that at the end of when we come back. Is that fine? We can discuss it. We're going to look at opening, and then we're going to agree on that. Okay. They're going to look at our opening, and then we can report that on the 6th member Mitchell.
Yeah. Chair, I just want to make a suggestion that Dustin must check. Of those things, those facilities that have been the committee deemed was like a worry, for a lack of a better word, and that we focus on that. So we don't focus on health facilities or, but that we go to an area and then we have in the in club. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We're taking that in consideration. Okay. Is that fine? So is there any other resources? Nothing that you want to add to the presentation, Member Joseph?
No, I just wanted to say, I think Member Beerwinkel's comment at the end was somewhat worrying for me. Towards the health department, stating to them that the condition of services that they render was unsatisfactory. I don't agree with that. But I didn't want to say it here. I mean, when the minister, I wanted the department to respond. I thought it's not my duty to respond, that the department must respond. But I think we have individual reports on infrastructure, hospitals. I mean, they've explained the reports, the presentation is clear. Where's the issues? They really up to date to the point. Where's the challenges, the funding, the money? But I felt, as a general comment, I felt it was an overstatement to criticize the whole department for their services. These people are the very best professional people that we can get.
Let me just, before you done this, just put on your microphone and just respond. I think sometimes I allow people to put their point across. And I knew it was not part, and like I said, it was not part of the presentation, but I allow it. And sometimes we allow those things because you see, I myself, the same as you, it's not every staff member, every nurse, but we have these occasions where people run to us and say we were not treated, you know, the way we should be treated. But a lot of them does good work, but I think that I think the HOD and the minister knows it comes from Member Beerwinkel, it doesn't come from the committee, and it's what she wanted to get off her chest, and I allowed her to do that. And I think sometimes it's fine to do that. And she specifically said, it's me speaking, you know, I want to bring something across. And I thought it was okay. We can have different opinions, but I'm saying as chairperson, I just thought, let's get off the chest and move on. I could have blocked it and said, no, but this is not a problem. But I just felt, listen, this is something pressing, something needing, that she wants to get out to their attention, and I allowed it. So Member Joseph, you will have a different opinion. Member and all of that, but she spoke from her heart and not as the committee spoke from her heart, and I think I allowed that. So that is just how I saw it. Member Bivanka?
Thank you for the defense. Where this whole thing starts on the crack, where Joseph is not understanding my point, you also heard the HOD say, Member Bivanka and I have had late night discussions.
I think
I made a very balanced contribution in saying what's good, but you also need to be honest and say what's bad. She will never know. She would never have known about this incident if I didn't. But the good thing about it is both her and the MC are approachable people. You can call them any day of the night and explain things to them. But we're missing the point in my statement now regarding this. Remember we're talking about salaries. I'm talking about overpayments.
Yes, I told you
so.
I did.
It cannot just be a place where you go to earn a salary. You also need to bring the serviceability and your commitment and your empathy to the job that you do. That's where I go to get.
I thought if you're a medical doctor or you're a nurse and you're under this oath and if you are overpayment in this honest day, how can you render a service that you under oath, but they get an overpayment and you don't say anything about it? They need to penalize you. What is that?
You must just look at Parliament.
I would like to invite Member Joseph to just do an impromptu visit.
The two of you alone?
No, he was on himself. He was trying to visit a day hospital next door. That instead of the hospital, kind of a hospital. Just walk in there.
That's what he does,
right? Can I say something?
That's where I was coming from. Yes.
Can I just give the lady first opportunity, your own mind? Put your microwave.
Can I say something?
I'll put that microwave in the oven if you like it. Maybe let's take off.
You know what both of them is a scenario of the sometimes the attitudes within the system in the clinics, because I once went with my husband and he was wearing the overall. I was talking to him, we argued like this argument that no, the services are dead. And then I said, okay, where an overall he had the head, and we went to the hospital and we said, no, his BP is like not okay, he needs to do the BP. And they said, no, we are busy. We'll go to the clinic Monday. And after when he took the head, I said, oh, Mr. Masakono, you can go that side and do that.
Yeah.
Now, after 2 weeks, I got sick, I went there. Oh, the perfect. Perfect treatment in the same hospital, different staff members. So it's not the issue of the facility or the institution. Attitude of some of the service providers in the institution.
Member Chacha?
No, Chair, I think Member Masego has covered me, because what is true in some areas, even the minister, when we had a chat outside, she agrees, for example, about the area where I was talking about.
Yes, yes.
She agrees that no, there's a problem there.
Yes.
And she explains to me what is the problem, you know. And because it's not that we just attack him because she's a DA member. I think it's about also us being mandated as the public to raise certain issues, you see. So I think some issues we must take it in that manner, because if we're not raising them, to be honest, there's no reason why you should come and sit here, you know, because people would say, have you ever raised this issue with the minister? You know.
If you're doing well, I don't want to, you know, if you're doing well, I don't want you to stay away from the red, stay in the green. Yeah, you know, just stay in the green. To stay in the green. Okay, that's fine, thank you. You've got green on, eh?
Black and yellow somewhere in your life, but you just don't know where.
I'll give you the blue score.
One of the reasons why it's so easy
to raise an issue that's not good to this ABC and to that HOD. It's because of the approachable stance and attitude towards what we bring to them.
Yeah.
So it's a pleasure to help them where you find things are wrong.
Yeah.
You get other departments where people become arrogant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't even have a number to call them. You don't know who to call when there's a problem. So people like I'm going to bend over.
And you know the work they're doing. They're doing excellent work. So you also want the tail. The head is doing a good job, you want the tail to do a good job as well. So it's fine, it's right. Can we move on now, the green lady? Can we move on? Okay.
Green means go.
Okay.
Green means go.
Let's go. Listen, green means go.
Yes.
Okay. Can we move on? There's no other points that will give you a heart attack later on? Nothing? Fine. Okay, right. So now the program. The new program was circulated to you. So what I've also tried to do is I've tried to at least have the same departments and entities join. And we have you moved this way. You moved it. So we opened the 19th still, but it's still far. Far away. So the 19th is still open, but otherwise our programs is populated, and I think it's quite full. So my intention always is that we end between 5 and 6. That is our time slot from 2 to 5 and 6. So that is what. So we've populated, but like I say, this is always a moving target. So if we know there's a need for addition, we can do that and we can add. But I think everybody at least goes through the... Remember, Biblical, I don't know if I must bring this up now, but I think your point that you made of the breathing by the problem of the Premier, sections 41 to 44, about violence.
That was just a correction.
No, I don't tell you. So we did go through the stats. So somebody did say, so initially it was 43, so somebody then said, I don't know, we couldn't pick it up on the state review, we went to check, it says 41 to 44, but we know that the description speaks to 43. And so we're just going to write to them to say 41 to 44, but emphasis on 43, so that we just cover our bases. Somebody said it, yes.
Gavin is sitting there.
Yes.
And he said 41 to 43.
Yes.
So when I went to read 41
yes.
to 44,
yes.
I discovered, but that's nonsense.
Yes.
It's only
yes.
43
yes.
that's relevant.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
you don't even have to put it in because 43, 41, 42 has nothing to do
yes.
even
yes.
with 43.
We've read it through. That's why I can answer you like that.
Yeah, that's why I knew you were wrong.
So are we going to say 41 to 44 just for the record, but say emphasis on 43? Just to get past that, to cover ourselves on that.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing that I think I picked up. The other stuff is for your own reading. Question marks and where and what and all that.
Excuse me, Chief Dustin.
Speak through the chair.
Chairperson to
yeah.
Dustin.
Yeah.
You knew that was my document and that was for your and my discussion. You
no.
have to show to the chairperson.
Okay.
No, he hasn't to look at that.
Okay,
but now I know where the questions and marks are.
Okay.
So I'm going to get you on the question marks. Okay, is that all, members? The minutes? There's a minute of the 9th of May, last week. I see member Bivongo was not there, so that's fine, she was absent.
Yeah. The only thing is that I want to raise.
One issue you want to raise, member Chacha?
The only issue, but I can't see here. Is the because we have two presentations, isn't it?
We just had the community
applicant
of me.
I think there was a resolution that we did on the
abstaining one of those were on
the NICO. remember we said that because of the explanation that we got that day. It's important to bring, I'm not sure if it's covered, GMT at some stage.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's covered.
I'm going to answer you now. We've looked at that, but we have that transversal resolutions
yeah.
that they are coming. I mentioned it last week. They are coming. They are going to present again. So then we have now extra ammunition, what we've learned from them. So we'll pose it to GMT. So they are coming during the in the coming months.
Right, Chair. I'm not sure that it's important that we must raise it, that we did, in this meeting, we did raise this particular issue. I agree that you raised that they are coming. But I'm saying, in terms of the minute, you know, I think it's important that we must just raise it because it's not there.
Okay, I see what you're saying here. I see what you're saying. Member Chatham just wants us to insert. Do you have it there?
Okay.
You know? Now, we can just put something in because... resolutions. We'll just put in something there. Yeah. We'll put in something there. I think it's we can capture that. No problem. So can we accept the minutes with amendments?
Chair, number one.
Yes, what's number one?
The report that we provide insight into the mechanism which is in place to monitor and evaluate the usage of water by the intended recipients of each use program. Something is not right.
The
time frame
now.
You say we want to report which provides detailed mechanisms to request to monitor and evaluate the use of water by the intended recipients. You're mixing up two things here. You must report on the recipients of the use provided, but also how to evaluate the usage of water. What are you actually saying about?
Yes, this one, please.
Thank you, thank you, members. This matter was raised by Member Chacham, a member, basically where Member Chacham indicated that Wolvercloof is being used by the community as well. So, what monitoring and evaluation is in place, they must provide us with a report on the monitoring and evaluation that they have in place on how Wolvercloof is catered for the trainees.
Of which,
for this youth program, of the Wolvercloof youth program.
But who is doing it?
The department.
No,
so that was the request that was made to the department to forward that report to the committee, which they said that they would, on how do they monitor and evaluate.
That's not what I understood. That the community safety people have moved out, they're not doing anything. Member Chacham said, it's still being used for youth programs, but he didn't say by him.
Okay.
Or did you mean that? By other people.
Yeah. Because what my understanding was that the... My understanding was that the public works has now taken over again.
Yeah.
So what if you still remember, I even said that I'm not sure the question is relevant for you or you must ask public works.
Yeah.
Or transfer the question to public works. About the actual use of the asset currently.
Yeah. So can we reword that, Member Benjamin Joseph?
I think that has dropped because public work is using it now and not us, the department. Or if we want to give a report or why they just continue using it.
They don't have the money, they don't have donor funding, the 40 million they don't have anymore. But Member Joseph, can I just ask you, because I also know what you've said was, that, you know, they answered the questions twofold because you were also talking about the people coming in and then they could not be forced to stay there, they left.
Mm-hmm.
And you said some people come in and they don't complete the program. So I don't know if that was part of it. I don't know. Because it's now in the hands of public works and they're going to decide, they're looking at somebody that can utilize the building.
Yeah.
So it's there at the moment. So everything that was movable was transferred to Crystalis.
Yeah.
So their assets was transferred and all training is now at Crystalis because it will be a modular program and all Crystalis and all those type of things. So just help us with that first sentence or can it be taken out?
No. Chair, I think on that part, I remember we were asking about people who were in, others who were out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But what I think is important there is that we need to get a report about those people who were trained. Because what I was raising there is what happened beyond those training, and what happened for those who actually left the training without finishing. Because my question I was raising...
But 4.3, that, this is that.
Yes.
4.3, this is
yeah,
that.
This is what I was raising. Because there are people about, let's say, the AVF, who we know, some gangsters took them out.
Yes.
So what happened to those young people? So I think if it's covered, I don't have a problem.
You see, the angel, he said, so when they come into the program, and they are taken out, they can't force people to stay there. So they don't necessarily, just think with me, they don't have necessarily the knowledge. If you drop off the program, they don't monitor you. You dropped out. You understand? So they don't have any record of you when you dropped out and you left for other reasons, gangsters, all the things that you said. So they don't keep a record on those guys that dropped out. Is that what you're saying? I'm just saying that's what the HOD said.
No.
So they cannot force you to be there, but if you leave and you don't complete the program, they don't have a record of you. The only guys that they keep a record is the guys that complete, that they pay a stipend. You still ask Member Beerman what is the amount of the stipend. They pay the stipend over the year, and they try to incorporate those people into municipalities and those type of things. I'm just saying, Member Joseph.
Member second point is covered in 4.2 and
4.3. Yes.
So I think point, we can't now ask the department to speak on what public works going to do to the place.
No,
we can't ask them. So I think we should drop it.
No, we have to ask.
It will eventually come up by public works in future if they use the place in annual report. So we can pick it up again.
I'm just trying to see is point one relevant or can we take it out? Now rephrase it, Member Bivanko.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So, Volkswagen is not being used by this department for youth programs anymore.
Yeah.
So that's why you're talking about two different things.
Yes.
But saying what I just said, the department did say, and like we all agreed here, public works is now responsible.
Yes.
So we can't ask that report from them. So take it out.
Take it out. Can we take one out? Because your 166 peace officers, Member Bimel, that was your point, eh? 166 of the peace officers, can you remember?
Yes. Sir.
And then point 3 was Member Chacha point. And then we covered.
4.4? Asking if 4.4 is also necessary.
Yes.
Because they explained it a lot. Explained actually in detail, but we want the document. Do we want that document, the agreement document? Because they know that they're not going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
No, that one, 4.4 is important. Because we want to
see what's
in mind.
Yes.
40 million.
Yeah, we want that. Because Member
Bigelow
is a waste of money.
Yes.
It's also a waste of money.
Yes.
So
let's get 4.1 out, and Member Bigelow, we're happy with your 4.2.
Look, what that was really about is we wanted to know, are these people proactive? And if they are, where are they?
Yeah.
You know?
That is what is
and locations, and the current locations of these peace officers.
Yeah.
That covers the term.
Okay.
So that's fine. Can we take 4.1 out? So it will just be 4.2 will become 4.1.
Now, what's number 5 about? A contract which highlights the finance lease and operating lease of the Volvo Club Academy project. What's that about?
Thank you, Chair. Remember, the HOD spoke about those 2 leases, but it was very brief, and he indicated that he can submit those 2 leases to the committee as well.
Okay,
so I just noted that.
Let me see what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. They can give it, it's fine.
Okay, let's give it, otherwise it's fine, so we can just make an amendment, and then I can sign the minutes. Thank you. Is that all, Dennis? Thank you, members. Have a good evening.
No, I'm finished because
you want me to cry now.
No? 4.5 is fine, Chair. Because why? Because remember I was raising this thing.
Yes.
They went there and now they are complaining about many things that are not right in the world. So, as if they did not know that there are certain things that are not happening
in
there.
Their own report, they say,
yes.
After numerous
exactly. And
okay, guys, we adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.